Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience by highlighting people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. I'm sure many of you have heard about the nature versus nurture debate, which explores the extent to which our characteristics are shaped by genetics or nature or by environmental factors, nurture. While early debates thought these two were mutually exclusive, modern understanding recognizes that both nature and nurture play crucial and intertwined roles in development. So a good follow-up question becomes, what kind of environment helps young people become who they're meant to be, where their interests are explored, and that they have people in their lives who can mentor and support them along the way? We're going to explore that today and see how two nonprofits are addressing the needs of our local youth and offering some great options. My first guests here today to talk about this topic in more depth are Yah Engel, Executive Director, and Adriana Salgado Santiago from Project Kindred, whose mission is to unite Milwaukee's young people and help them develop the skills and values necessary to become all they're meant to be. Welcome to the show today, Yah and Adriana.
Thanks
for having us.
You're welcome. So Project Kindred is doing something bold. You're redefining what it means to support youth in our city. So what's at the core of that work?
Yeah, so at Project Kindred, at the core of our work is building spaces that builds community. We make sure that our young people are able to show up fully, they feel valued, they feel seen, and we prepare them to lead with purpose. Programs are more than activities. They are spaces for connection, for healing, for growth. Young people are able to build relationships, explore their identity, and develop confidence and leadership skills when they're in Project Kindred spaces. They begin to see new possibilities in themselves, in their peers, and the world around them. They're able to experiment. They're able to make mistakes. They're able to grow with real consequences, but in a space where that's designed for learning and not consequence. They get to try new things and take risks and fail forward and grow without damaging their dignity, their reputation, or future opportunities for that matter.
Well, and I love the failing forward idea, the book by John Maxwell. Yeah. I don't know if you've read that. Yep. It just identifies that failing is not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want to learn from it and move forward, right? Yeah. Adriana, what does a young person experience when they enter Project Kindred? Give us an example of what it looks like.
Yeah, when young people enter our space, they're first welcomed by warm adults, I think. That's a really important first step in building relationships with young people is embracing them. Mm-hmm. And so the first time a young person comes in, every adult they interact with is welcoming them with a warm smile, a warm welcome. And that's really the opening to bringing them into our sandbox, which is an incubator that we create for a brave space where our young people can express themselves freely, be authentic, make mistakes, take risks. And that sandbox really outlines how we operate as a community, how we engage with one another, how we address conflict should that arise. And through that sandbox and through their time with us, they quickly find their voice. They have a say in how our programming looks and what we do. By doing that, we shift our focus to away from like this bias that adults know everything and know best, and really empower them to make decisions for how they experience the program and their time with us.
Well, that's an interesting departure from the norm, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I bet you come across some really outspoken kids who want their voices to be heard, right? Well, how did this all come to be? Like, what did you see that made you know that something different was needed?
Well, Milwaukee is one of the most segregated cities in the nation. It's considered one of the most hyper-segregated metropolitan areas of the nation. And what we know is friendships are what's needed for economic mobility. So for people to do better in life in the long run, health-wise, wellness-wise, income-wise, the best predictor is friendships, not income, not household income, not test scores, but it's friendships. And because Milwaukee is one of the most segregated cities, those friendships across those divides, across divides, don't tend to happen. They're not natural. They don't at school. They don't happen at the doctor's office. They don't happen in the neighborhoods. And so our goal is to bring those our young people together to build those friendships to help disrupt segregation in Milwaukee.
Well, and I think everybody would agree that building relationships is so important, but it's interesting to understand that there's studies behind it that say that it's more important than household income and some other things. I find that fascinating. What would it look like then if more spaces were built this way for our youth in Milwaukee?
I believe that if Milwaukee were to build more spaces like this, we would see transformation across neighborhoods, across schools, across within our young people and across the city as a whole. Young people helping to shape their environment, making sure that they're able to lead with confidence as a young person will only grow to be a more confident, better leader as an adult. And so if we like to say, what if all of our leaders in Milwaukee met at the age of 8 and grew up together? Think about how connected Milwaukee could be. Think about how our leaders would stop thinking about just their small network or their small neighborhood, but think about the city as a whole when they make choices and decisions and place policies.
It would look very different, wouldn't
it?
Yeah. Well, what do you think it would take then to build this incubator of growth for young people?
Community buy-in.
Yeah. Along with community buy-in, it's reimagining the space, reimagining what safe spaces look like and feel like, sound like for young people. The spaces go beyond providing like physical and emotional safety. It's about promoting cultural respect and setting clear expectations for how we operate with one another. I think as adults, we often have unspoken expectations of one another, but when we explain them and have, everyone's clear on them, we can transcend many of the obstacles that are presented by not speaking about those expectations. And really getting adults invested in being present and showing up for our youth, mentoring them, being responsive. Our young people are telling us every day what they want, what they need, what they dream about through their actions and inaction. And, you know, sometimes we're so caught up in our own things that we miss those messages.
Yeah, you wonder, are we listening?
Yeah.
Right? What about collaboration? How important is that for you guys?
It's critical. We can't operate in silos. I think right now are in a space where we need to operate more like a forest with, you know, that's net, you know, the forests are deeply networked under the ground, the trees within the forest. And so when we operate within this network, then we can withstand huge political shifts or societal shifts, you know, that tend to disrupt our daily lives. Yeah. So as a community, if we came together, we could, again, take over the world.
Yeah, we could do more. It just reminds me of the roots of a willow tree. You know, they obviously roots go deep, but the willow tree goes wide, searching for water, you know, searching for a source. And if we all do that, think about the impact that we could make, right?
Together. Right.
Exactly. And I agree that collaboration is so important. It seems pretty straightforward, but I'm sure you've encountered your share of challenges along the way as you try to accomplish those goals. But I think every nonprofit goes through times of challenge in some form or another. It's what you do with those challenges that's key, I think. But also, with challenge, there is opportunity. So stay tuned, because when we return, Yah is going to share some of the challenges they've faced, but how they've also turned or used those challenges to create opportunity. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Yah Engel and Adriana Salgado Santiago from Project Kindred. So you've shared some of the challenges that you've encountered along the way as you try to reach your goals and accomplish your mission. But as I said, with challenge comes opportunity. So Adriana, you talked a little bit about challenges, but can you elaborate on what some of those challenges are that you've had to face in recent times?
So a few challenges that Project Kindred has faced recently, it tends to do with our funding. We have long-term outcomes. Our goals are long-term. Our young people won't be adults for another 20 years when they start our program. So showing how they're showing up in the world today matters for tomorrow. Tends to be a little difficult when funders tend to want short-term, shiny metrics that they can go to their board and share all the good things that they're doing. I would say rising costs. You know, it's getting expensive just regularly, and so being able to keep our pay what you can model when costs are rising and tends to get a little difficult. But with that came the opportunity of really bringing the community together, really partnering with community members for them to show up for the young people, for them to provide spaces for us to go and utilize and give the young people what they need and really explore not just themselves and their identity, but how they show up in the actual community. So using real world spaces, real world problems, real world issues that organizations are going through to help give skills and tools and resources to our young people.
Well, and I think when you talk about POP or proof of performance, I'm sure that you're not the only organization that has long-term metrics or analytics. You know, it's going to take you a while to understand how do you know that what you're doing works. But I think those stories of impact are a really great way, and they're incremental, certainly, because you're dealing with such young kids. But I think those stories of impact, as you say, these kids that are coming through and they're identifying with you as maybe part of their extended family, and they're opening up, and you know, those little nuggets that you see along the way, I think are great ways to support how do we know that what we're doing is actually working.
Absolutely.
So we talked about some challenges. What about opportunities? What do you see for Project Kindred, and how are you evolving to meet the needs of young people in the community?
I think it's really partnering with anybody willing to help these young people advance their lives and their communities. I think that it's there's opportunity to really look at wraparound services that we're giving young people to not look at wraparound services as separate as the education that they're getting in school. So we do a lot of civic engagement and agency, and so connecting with civic classes, and so they can connect what they're learning in their civic class to actual real world opportunities has been key for our young people. But just we're building more than a program, and having to find new ways to utilize the funding that we are getting, or making sure that our infrastructure of belonging and our system of care and growth is not just limited to Project Kindred spaces, but then being able to open it up to the whole community. It really did come about from the funding challenge.
And I think you shared with me one of your stats is that you have young people from 44 different schools.
That's across 44 multiple different public schools. We okay. also have Montessori. We also have private and charter as well.
Nice, nice. And again, that community piece being so important. What do you think Milwaukee would lose if your work disappeared?
So much.
Trusted spaces for young people from all over the city to come together, for one. I don't know many of those that are left that aren't just, you know, babysitting our young people, but that are actually giving them attention and you know, getting on their level and meeting them where they're at. That's not happening. Definitely the cross-cultural, cross-racial, cross-neighborhood friendships that we're building would be hard to come by in Milwaukee with the way that the neighborhoods and the system is set up here. Setback towards like a true economic mobility, really being able to move Milwaukee forward. We should be on the same level as a Chicago or a LA or a New York City. I mean, we pay New York City rent prices. We should be getting New York City attention. And I don't think that's going to happen until we do come together, until we do start working together. And really, and that's going to start with our youth having to think about things differently. And without spaces like Project Kindred, that would be very hard to come by.
And with regard to those spaces, why do you think it's so important to protect and invest in them so that these people, similar to or just what your mission is, so that these people can create and express and lead?
That's a great question. We believe at Project Kindred that protecting our space can help people create, express, and lead. Expression builds agency. When young people share who they are, they gain power to shape the world around them. Creation fuels change. Creativity is how we imagine and build better systems. It's not just art. It's applied throughout all of our city systems. Leadership is learned by doing, right? You have to practice it. So young people They grow through real decision making, risk taking, and ownership. Adultism, we call it anti-adultism. So adultism is challenged. Youth voice is lived experience. It's centered. It's respected. It's at the forefront of all of our work.
Well, I like your reference to ROI, being an investment firm. Obviously, we look at that. But investing in kids and seeing what that return is, and to be a part of that, I'm sure is very rewarding. And to know that you offer that safe space where they can create and express and lead. So again, that's wonderful. So many great things. We don't have time to get to every single thing, but I think we kind of planted that mustard seed so people get a really good idea about who Project Kindred is and all the wonderful work that you do. How can our community of listeners support you then?
Yeah, I just want to share that support goes beyond financial contributions. As Yaa mentioned, there's opportunities to partner, to introduce us to other community partners or individuals who might be interested in mentoring young people or have spaces that would be of interest to bring young people to and to learn more about a specific topic. We have events coming up, and so there's opportunity to join us at our semi-annual fundraisers throughout the year, as well as, you know, joining our mailing list, getting in contact with us. Googling Project Kindred MK will get you right to our website. You can also reach out to us at info@projectkindredmke.org.
Okay. And do you have a donate button on your website?
We sure do.
Well,
give
there you
on
go.
The okay. upper right-hand corner.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful, all the different ways that you support kids. So thank you so much, Yaa Engel and Adriana Salgado Santiago. Again, from Project Kindred, thank you for all that you do and how you support our youth. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. When I was a kid, I was involved in multiple sports. That was my hobby, as it was for many kids I hung around with. That was one of the ways that our small rural community supported the youth. My husband, in addition to sports, was involved in music, but where I went to high school, very few people were involved in both. You either focused on one or the other. Stats, however, show that enrollment in arts education, whether that's music, theater, or art, unfortunately declined in Milwaukee by 40% last year. So if your child has an interest in any of these areas, what options do you have? Stay tuned, because we'll give you some insight on this after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And I mentioned before the break that when I was a kid, I was heavily involved in sports. I wasn't really interested at the time in the arts. My husband did both, though, and consequently our kids did both, because we understood the value of exposing them to different things. In short, they had options. And that wasn't all that long ago. But stats today show that enrollment in arts education, whether that's music, theater, or art, has declined in Milwaukee by 40% last year. My next guests today are going to shed some light on this. Welcome to the show today, Joel Sensius, Executive Director from Arts at Large, and Ashley Early, an artist educator at Arts at Large. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having us, and thank you for the opportunity to share more about our work.
Absolutely. Well, your stats last year show that you served close to 5,000 Milwaukee County youth. You contracted with over 80 local Milwaukee-based artists. You hosted over 3,200 attendees at our Walker's Point Community Center. You collaborated with over 45 partners. You provided arts education in more than 10 MPS schools that lacked an art teacher. You provided over 2,000 paid internship hours for high school and first-year college students in your 24-year history. And you've invested more than $6 million directly to employ the working artists in our community. All that with this supposed decline in enrollment last year, right?
Yeah.
Imagine what those numbers would look like if enrollment was up. So you're obviously highly invested in the arts community in Milwaukee. Why does Arts at Large resonate with you, Joel?
Well, for me, it's personal. I was an MPS kid. You know, I graduated from Milwaukee Public Schools, a proud Washington High School graduate. So when I learned that, you know, in Milwaukee County alone, only 54% of kids have access to a visual arts class, you know, that spoke deeply to me. I was a kid that had access to the arts because of my educational opportunity. You know, I was raised in a single mother household, so we didn't really have the opportunity to do arts outside of, you know, school. And so what I got in school is how I was exposed. And so, you know, fast forward all these years later, when I joined Arts at Large in 2023, you know, my high school, Washington High School, had a thriving arts program when I was a student there. We had three full-time art teachers, a dance theater program. And fast forward, you know, 20-some years later, none of that exists. Mm-hmm. And if it hadn't been for Arts at Large, the year I started at Arts at Large, we had three full-time artist educators at Washington. None of the kids in my own alma mater would have had access to the arts. And so to me, this work is incredibly personal, just through my own lived experience growing up in the city, attending public schools. And then obviously since coming to Arts at Large and learning more about the impactful work we do, it just hit home.
Well, and today Arts at Large is one of the largest providers of art education in Milwaukee, and you have been active since 2001. So share with us how it all began.
Yeah. So at the top of our segment, you shared all of those stats that we're really proud of, and really kudos to our entire team for making those numbers possible. But we started very humbly. We started small. We started out of the trunk of our founders' cars. And so Kim Abler and Terry Sullivan are co-founders. Kim was an art teacher in MPS, and Terry was an arts administrator. And it all started because Kim really became a champion for what art integration could look like in a school setting. And so it wasn't just kids going to art class once a week, or it wasn't art on the cart, but really, like, how could an artist educator go into a school environment and help that entire school adapt art into their curriculum, whether you were teaching first grade or eighth grade. And so Kim was like, well, I'm going to write a grant, a federal grant, and I have this idea. And to her surprise and amazement, it got funded. So then she said, well, I can't do my full-time job and do this project. And so that's how Terry got involved. And really the idea was, we would bring artists, working artists, into schools that did not have full-time art instruction. So back in 2001, this has been an issue with this shortage of art teachers and school environments that just lacked art instruction. And so we would essentially adopt a school, and we would place an artist educator at that school, and we would support that artist educator. We would give them all of the tools and techniques they needed to be successful. And that model is still core to our work today. You shared at the beginning of the segment, we were in 10 schools and 10 MPS schools last year. Ashley was in one of them. That if it wasn't for us, none of those kids would have had access to the arts as part of their curriculum.
And so you've been around since 2001. The doors open in 2001. Things have looked, that landscape obviously has looked very different over the years. And then your model is to hire artists to deliver all the programming.
Yeah, so that's what makes us unique. All of our programming is delivered by local working artists. And we touch every aspect of the arts ecosystem in our community. So a lot of arts organizations may have a singular focus. Our organization serves artists, educators, youth, community members, other community collaborators and partners. So I like to say that if anyone wants anything art done in this city, they call us. They know to call us. Because if you can imagine, over the course of 24 plus years, we've amassed this really robust network of working artists here in Milwaukee. The other thing is that we're not just a visual arts organization. You know, because we work with a variety of different artists, we offer a variety of different mediums. And so music, dance, digital art, you know, there's all these components that we're able to bring to educational spaces that otherwise wouldn't have it. We've also created an artist in residency program to help develop and nurture that next generation of artist educators here locally. And then we do a lot of community work. And so a lot of organizations will contact us and say, we want to do this mural, or we want to do this art installation piece. We don't know how to start. We don't have an artist. And what's unique about Arts at Large is that there's always an educational component to it. So that's kind of the grounding force of our organization, is that we use the art as a way to educate.
Okay. Well, you mentioned murals, and what pops in my mind is that big mural of Giannis.
Oh, Giannis?
Did you guys do that one?
We did not directly do that, but we definitely know that artist.
Okay.
But yeah, we've worked on a number of other pieces throughout southeastern Wisconsin. I give this example all of the time because everyone knows the Milwaukee Bucks. Everyone loves the Milwaukee Bucks. So two summers ago, the Milwaukee Bucks called us and they said, hey, you know, we want to find a way to engage the Deer District on non-event weekends, you know. So how do you get people down to the Fiserv Forum area in the summer where there's a lot of other things happening? And art is a great convener. And so they wanted us to come in and bring in an artist. And so we hired an artist, Marina Lee, to do this beautiful sidewalk chalk painting. And she has these beautiful stencils. And it's one of those things that all ages and all ability types is able to participate in. And so that's an example of the community work that, you know, we sometimes get involved in. So our entire mission is focused on, how do we make the arts more accessible in our community? And we often say we do that by removing those barriers of access and by making it easier for people to create.
Wonderful. Well, word has it that Arts at Large is working on an exciting project that will be the first of its kind in the Midwest. Stay tuned to hear more about what that's all about after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Joel Sentius, Executive Director of Arts at Large, and Ashley Early, an artist educator at Arts at Large. So your technology and innovation cornerstone plays a vital role at Arts at Large, and it's directly related to an exciting, new, first-of-its-kind project in the Midwest. So don't keep us in suspense. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so it's our mobile media lab, and have to give credit here to an organization we both love dearly in Milwaukee, Impact 100. They gave us the seed money to launch this project, and we're incredibly grateful to that. So what is this going to allow us to do? It's going to allow us to bring digital arts instruction into the community. So, you know, the digital world is ever evolving. You've heard about it. You've heard about AI. You've heard about ChatGPT and all these great new tools. And so we often get asked, you know, how is that impacting the art world, and how are you responding as an arts education organization? And our response has been, you know, are the children we serve, the schools and the families that we serve, they often lack access to those digital resources. And we heard the same thing from our community partners. There are some really large youth serving groups in the city that have state-of-the-art facilities just like this with all of this podcasting equipment and a studio, but they can't get kids there. Mm-hmm. And transportation is still an issue. And so we sat down in a room 2 years ago and we said, you know, what is the biggest barrier to digital art? And the biggest barrier is transportation. And so what this is going to allow us to do is going to allow us to take all of our digital art instructional tracks that we have. So think podcasting, sound design and engineering, digital illustration, photography, videography. And it's going to allow us to bring those artists that can lead those courses into schools. So we'll be able to bring the equipment and the artists directly to schools. And all of our work with youth is really designed on this idea of exposure. You know, we're not looking to necessarily create the next, you know, huge video producer necessarily, but you don't know what might happen if you put a video camera or a camera in a child's hand who's never had one before and you've taught them how to use it and how powerful that tool is for what they can use. We're going to teach young people sort of the basics of all of those digital art tools with the hope that, you know, we may spark some genuine interest in wanting to do that as a career. And so this is the first project of its kind in the Midwest. It's going to be the first project that it's going to allow us to make these tools that are usually, you know, locked in a building safe somewhere. It's going to allow us to actually make them mobile, which is key to access. And so we're excited. We're hoping to engage 5 different partner organizations in our first pilot year.
Wow, that sounds really, really exciting. Well, Arts at Large serves close to 5,000 young people annually throughout Milwaukee in all of your programs. I mentioned that briefly in the last segment, but could you elaborate on the impact that the arts have on a young person's educational trajectory? You talked a little bit about it, but if you can elaborate on that more.
Well, I want to start this by saying, you know, we have a quote outside of our building that it reminds me and our team about this every day. It's art is not what you see, but what you make others see. Mm. And so we know that when a young person can tap into that creative ability that each of us has, research tells us that they have improved academic performance. It supports healthy mental health. It supports and cultivates those critical thinking skills that young people need to have. And it helps create community. You know, one of the best things that we do is we help young people find space, you know, find a space where they can tap into sometimes those vulnerable parts of who they are, because, you know, art allows you to express yourself in a way that other forms don't. And so we know that providing those environments is crucial. And we also know that the arts are not necessarily a mandated requirement in the educational landscape, right? And what we're trying to do as an organization is trying to change that narrative to say that the arts shouldn't be a nice to have, but a need to have when it comes to education.
Okay. Well, Ashley, you are one of those artist educators that Arts at Large places out in the community. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us a firsthand example of how arts education has positively impacted a student or a school community?
Yeah, I was so grateful that I found the artist educator role through Arts at Large because it really mirrored my why serving in urban education, as well as the passion to be alongside young people and to be able to do that through the arts, as well as the social and emotional learning piece, which is to self-regulate those emotions, those tough emotions. We were able to make those great gains because I know that even one of my seventh grade students in the beginning, he did not see himself as an artist. And that was the challenge that many of my students faced. And I wanted to change that. And towards the last quarter of the school year, he came into the art room and he said, "Hey, like, can I use the art that we're working on this week?" And I hesitated because I was like, well, we're not finished with it. And it has to be displayed in the classroom on the walls. But I did let him use it, and then he brought it back, and I asked him, I said, hey, like, you know, just curious, like, what did you need to use your art for? And he said that he wanted to share in his boys group something that he felt proud of. Mm. And that's when I knew that the impact that we were doing in the classrooms, that that mattered, and that students' lives were being transformed. And this was through their engagement as well as their participation. But getting curious and asking questions, to even suggesting to me, like, hey, this is what we should do next, and this is art, right? And I was like, yes. And, like, that made me feel proud that that was one story of many others. So.
And I'm sure it impacts you personally as well as professionally.
Yeah. The master classes that we, that our cohort got to be a part of, we gained so much education as well as just being in a space with other artists where they taught us everything from genealogy to heritage and culture, and one of my favorites was fashion and design. But the energy in that space helped me to cultivate it in the classroom, because I wanted to create an experience for young people that looked different than a traditional art teacher, and that was the opportunity that we were able to receive as artist educators, that this experience could be so unique and that it could look different.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. Well, we've discussed some stats and the benefits that arts education brings to the community, and we've heard from Ashley, who has shared her experiences in the classroom. Joel, as the executive director, what is your mission moment of how you see this work impacting the youth that you serve?
Yeah, so we touched on it a little earlier, but it's that idea that we cultivate a safe space for kids to be able to be themselves. I think when I look at, you know, all the reports that come my way, the thing that really sticks with me are when kids write in and say, you know, I felt like I could be myself at Arts at Large. I felt like I could share a part of me that I don't always get to share. And so the ability to encourage kids to tap into that curiosity that Ashley was talking about and to take risks, those are important life skills they're going to need to have as thriving adults. And so to be able to create safe space in that way, to me, is the mission moment of what we do.
And how would our city look different if every young person in Milwaukee had access to the kinds of arts-based learning and collaboration that Arts at Large provides?
Well, I think it would be a more unified, caring community. I really do. I think, you know, the arts help help give you perspective and help you see things differently than what you may naturally gravitate towards. And the arts, like I said earlier, provide community. It provides you natural opportunities to learn from people that are different than you and that have different experiences. That would be my answer. I'll let Ashley weigh in.
Yeah, like one of the greatest gifts that I was able to share with my students this year is that you are already an artist, and that everything that we love and everything that we're passionate about is tied to art. And that was how we were able to, like, soar this year. And that is huge. Not only did it help us to see ourselves as artists, but the personal piece and who we are as people is tied to the arts as well.
I want to thank my guests today, all of my guests, Joel Sentius, Executive Director of Arts at Large, and Ashley Early, who is one of the artist educators at Arts at Large, and again, Ya Engel and Adriana Salgado Santiago from Project Kindred. I appreciate you all sharing the ways that you impact the youth in our community in a number of different ways, so thank you again for participating in our interview. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Arts at Large or Project Kindred. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for the show, feel free to email me at jill@ellenbecker.com and just share their contact information. If you'd like to learn more about the great work that nonprofits are doing in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the various ways these great organizations are contributing to making our community a great place. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. And you can also listen on demand on your favorite streaming platform. If you'd like to make a difference in some way for someone in our community, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating, I encourage you to find an organization that aligns with your personal interests. Once you find that organization that you can be passionate about being a part of, then plug in and make a difference in whatever way makes sense for you. Determine how best you can be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.